Hey, how's everybody doing out there? This is a Hustler Spirit, and we've got a great show lined up today. Ken, how you doing?
I'm doing real good. How's everybody out there today?
All right, I know everybody's doing well. We've got our other co-host on the line, too. We have Judy. Judy, how you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing
fantastic. All right. Sounds wonderful. And we got Greg, man. Greg White, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, man, doing excellent. Doing excellent. This is a wonderful day today, and we're going to have a great time today. And, man, we got hit with a little snow down here.
Ain't
up in
like
Cleveland.
It's happening every Wednesday, huh?
You better believe it. We got hit with a little bit of weather, but it's all well. And Greg, how about you guys up there, man? How you doing up there weather wise? Everything okay?
We got nice weather out here. We're supposed to get some snow, but everything hit into the Baltimore area and everything. But the beaches are cold, but it's clear out. Clear.
Right. This man talking about beaches. We can't even see the ground. Oh man, I tell you, I got a couple things that I want to talk about today, that I want to have some fun with today, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody's view on them. And one of the things that come to mind, I've been following the news, I've been following some current events, and following some of the economy or news, and I know listening to some of that. And I know we can all testify to it. It can get addictive. I think, what do they call it now? They call it infotainment. I think that's the
is
new.
Is that what it is?
I think so, Judy. I think that's the new slang word for it, infotainment. So, you know, they with the ratings and different things going on, people are trying to put on the things that are just so devastating to make people tune in. Because once again, what is it? All about ratings? You know what it is? All about that bringing that money in. Which you want to be the most popular television show or radio show too? Because I've been listening to a lot of talk radio shows too. I listen to the Power 169 on XM Sears Radio, Joe Madison, Warren Ballantyne. I listen to those. Those are urban stations. I also listen to the left. What is it? The left wing, right wing type of radio stations where it's, you know, the Republicans, Democrat. I listen to, you know, trying to, you know, keep up on what's happening with the current events and just, you know, listening to it, but. What caught my attention was Citibank, and Citibank actually said that they weren't. I don't know, Ken, if you heard about that, but Citibank pulled back on, I guess, a party they were having. I don't know if you guys heard that.
Actually, it was Wells Fargo. They were having it in Las Vegas,
and they said something about them. But they showed Citibank up here, but I don't know how that goes. But you saying it was Wells Fargo, and they pulled away and said we're not going to have this party.
Yeah, they have it annually every year.
Right.
For Valentine's Day, I believe.
Right.
And it's in Las Vegas, and they spend, like, I think $1 million or something.
$1 million on the party.
Yeah.
Well, they're putting somebody to work up
everybody's
there. They're spending that kind of money, but still, you know, they're kind of looking at that. I don't know what you guys...
For, like, 1,250 employees.
Okay. And they were just talking about... I don't know. I thought I might have heard a different story. And the fact of that, you know, they were saying no more gouging of this money. But my whole point was that... What would even bring the thought up to where you would even have to say, we're not going to do it? I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not a CEO of a major bank, but I would just say to myself, is, you know, buying two brand new jets, giving ourselves, splitting $18 billion of whatever money, I'm not saying that Wells Fargo did it, but whoever the companies were, Wall Street people were doing it, my whole thing would be, what's on your mind? Why would you even consider that to even start off with? And has greed and that energy realm taken you so far out the box? And remember now, these are people that you're trusting your money with. These are people that you're trusting your investments with. These are people that call themselves CEOs. And I'm just saying, with how the world is today, with like Michael Phelps not changing the subject, with people taking pictures necessarily with not the best of intentions all the time, or looking to bring people of stature down, man, you just have to really cover yourself out there today. When you're out there in the public eye, I mean, you know what I mean?
It's funny how we sit and talk and we come up with everything during the week. And we, you know, I always have like little topics or words that I, but I was thinking today, we have different seasons that we're in, and you know, a lot of times the seasons and stuff that we're in, we also have to pick the people that we're around to be in that season to make it
most prosperous for you. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's an important thing to look at too. But when I look at these stories or listen to them, my whole thing of it is what's the motive behind it?
But I think all this stuff with these banks and stuff, that stuff it didn't just happen by just natural causes. It was designed to be this way, exactly how it is now, and how we're gonna get past it if we don't pull together, like from the bottom, starting from the bottom, going back up to the top, like just everyday people starting. Just getting together, working, because we can't really be concerned, because they're going to do what they want to do to us.
Right.
And if we get overwhelmed with that, it's going to be a lot of people making decisions with their lives that ain't going to be good.
It's not
going to be good for none of
us. And I think, you know, that we have, as a people, as spirits or energy sources going through a human experience, we have more power than we give ourselves credit for. We have more power than we even can even comprehend. If the consciousness, and I know, Judy, we've talked about that, Greg, we've talked about that you can see the shift of consciousness. You've been seeing it over the years. You see it. But it's just for me, and I think, you know, Greg, you helped me with that one as far as, you know, when I really, really needed you, you were there, as far as understanding and me coming to grips that everyone is not necessarily going to think on the same line that you're thinking on.
But a lot of people can't even vision of changing their whole thought pattern, their spirit, their faith. They can't even...
Well, a lot of people,
they don't even realize that it can change.
Judy, did we not talk about this earlier?
Well,
I think we did.
We talked about that earlier in a conversation
that me and Judy had. Exactly that point, Ken. But here's the deal. Most people don't even believe that they're even spiritual. So if you don't have that initial belief, because it's just like having Greg, the first thing you say, do you believe in this? Do you, you know, if a person doesn't have that belief, what can you do for that person if you're doing any type of matrix energy? And either one of you guys can answer that. If you got a person that doesn't even understand or fathom the beginning of being spiritual, can you be successful in working on them?
Yes, you can.
You can
make a crack.
You
can make a crack in their reality. Now, it's up to them whether they pick it up or not. But you can make a crack in their reality.
But it's a lot easier, though, if you do believe, though. It does.
Oh, it's very much easier if you do believe it. You know, but the universe will give you the cracks. I've been working with people all day for psychic readings that I've had to make cracks in the reality. One guy that was coming up on drug charges, he wanted to know if he was going to end up in jail or not. This is his third run, and I couldn't believe it. He thought he could get away with it again. Until I happened to mention his little 7-year-old girl, what was she going to think about it? And he turned white. It was the first time he'd ever thought of anybody else but himself. So it's about us helping people to wake up.
That was your crack to get in to make the change.
Yeah, it was my crack to get in. And it was really interesting because the universe told me what to tell him to do when he went up in front of the judge. The universe says, tell him to dress up in a suit and wear his little visitor tag that he wears when he goes to have lunch with his daughter. And that about shook him down to the core. I thought the guy was going to throw up right there on the table. And I said, you know, you got to get a grip here. You got to come into this world if you don't want to end up in prison.
Right.
And he hadn't even thought of it. He's trying to think of a way to get out instead of a way to get in.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
Well, that's exactly what we were talking about that earlier, Jim and I were. And if you're at a different level of consciousness or you have a certain amount of ethics, which is lacking a lot in this time, and you've got to have enough gumption to move out of a situation that's not to your level.
Doesn't fit you
anymore. If it doesn't fit
you
anymore, you need to move out. Yeah.
The universe waits for you to make that decision. All you have to do is one breath and ask for help, and the rest of it's yours. But you got to ask.
Not cut you off, but sometimes when there's someone willing to make that change and they distance themselves away from that environment,
right?
And that environment still kind of like impedes on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing.
How do you get away from it?
Sometimes I feel like that, and I'm trying to stay away and trying to be civil and level-headed, still do what I need to do. And you find yourself end up, you have a whole lot of hostility, or you may not even really try to be that way, but it comes out. And how do you change that?
You turn it around to ask to serve.
Mm-hmm.
You ask the universe, how can I serve this situation? And the whole thing flips around inside your head. If you're going to self-defense mode, you're still sitting there in the world of greed. But if you just surrender the whole thing and say, how can I serve? The ideas start popping in your head like a railroad train. And suddenly you find yourself out of it.
I can testify to that. It is about punching the right keys and tones
right
to the universe to get your answers. And this is
exactly
what we don't, the average person going through these experiences, that you don't come across the mastery part of that. It's just like if something comes your way, you can take the brunt out of what comes your way by saying, what is the message other than woe is me? Or why the hell did this happen? See, those are two. Just that statement to say, why the hell did it happen, is an aggressive statement towards something you created. So then that's some situations that are built up, too. It's just like a person, when you go to jail, if a person went to jail, and I've been to jail, when you go to jail, to fight the fact that you've got handcuffs on you and you're arrested is ridiculous. You've got to submit to the fact that you're in jail. Then you can think about a ways being calm and strategically planning on getting out of jail. But most people, what they do is they're fighting or they're resisting. That tires you out. That creates more of a web that you're getting yourself into, other than spinning it around and saying, hey, you know what? Where, and it's perfect what you just said, Judy, where can I serve?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? What is the message? What is the lesson to be learned? Those things seem to take the brunt. They seem to transmute that energy into another form of energy. Tell me if that sounds like a pliable, but I've used that when things come my way. You know what I mean? I'm
right,
instantly saying, what is the lesson? If something happens that you would say, man, that is devastating, Jim, I try to get my mindset. You get your emotions set up and say, man, universe, okay. And you got to be direct in your questions. You got to be direct in your statements. You know, that you got to talk to that like you're talking to a person sitting in the chair next to you, because technically that's how it is. You have to say, hey, what is the lesson for me? And at the same time,
right,
we've lost the fact, though, that we can have fun and we can do some things to take the brunt out of what comes our way by how we, you know, go after
yeah
the scenario and how open-minded and flexible we are.
Find
and I can
the joy
understand
in right where you're standing, yeah.
Huh?
Find the joy right where you're standing. If you stand in the middle of prison, you got to find, if you find the joy there, the door will open.
Period.
It really, 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 really will. It's like finding, if you start looking for the pluses,
right,
energy starts moving. If you keep looking at the minuses, it tightens up. If
and
you look for the pluses, the doors start opening, yeah.
You get back in the heart, you come from
mm-hmm
a point of love.
Okay,
I mean,
you
have to
talk
look
just
the
a little bit up. I barely can hear you, buddy. Are you saying, now, what did you say, Greg, with that? Because I think a lot of people listening would definitely feel what you guys have just said. You, Ken, and Judy, what you just said. So say what you said again.
I just said
you
have
to
get it in. Go ahead, Judy.
You got to get in the heart and find the joy exactly where you're standing. If you're standing in the middle of prison, you got to find the good that's sitting right there in front of you, because there is good. And as you start finding the good, the doors start to open, because you have to look at this young man. Today, I was a fill-in for another person that was there. So this kid, on some level, must have asked for help, because I was the only person available to talk to him this way. And he woke up. You could see it in his eyes. So somewhere down the line, he'd asked for help. He didn't know what that help would look like. It would be me. And if he follows each step of the way, and when I mentioned his daughter, do you want your 7-year-old daughter to know this? And whoa. And
so
every
had no,
question.
You had no, he never told you about his 7-year-old daughter?
No. Oh, well, this is the joy of being a psychic. So this is some of the things the universe throws in your basket. Because being a psychic means about shock and surprise. The other person thinks, and they'll ask me all the time, how do you know that? And I says, well, that's my job.
You can run, but you cannot hide.
Yeah, you can run, but you cannot hide.
And I think that right there, when you said that, and he did not mention that to you, that caught his attention on a high,
mm-hmm.
very high, strong level. And that could be enough, that, like you said, enough
mm-hmm.
shock in him to say, are you listening? Because the universe is listening. It's always,
always.
Dropping. It's
well, that shook him to the
time.
Core. That shook him to the core to give that crack for Judy to get in and be able to do this, make the shift.
And then after that, it was an easy ride because I could see he'd been doing this all his life. And I said, you've been doing this all your life, and the angel's been pulling you out at the last second. He said, yeah. I said, your last seconds are coming up to an end. You better decide what you want to do. And he's like, whoop. I mean, he really pulled up.
Right.
Because it was true. Right. He'd been pulled out of so many scams, this wasn't even funny. But he was coming down the track to his last scam.
So basically, this person, would you say that his integrity level was low? The integrity part of what he was doing was low?
No, I would say he was very mixed up. He'd been a lot of abuse. He didn't even know what the word integrity meant. The only thing he knew integrity meant was a love for this 7-year-old daughter. Because he thought he could get her back. I said, there's no way you're going to get her back right now. In his head, if he could sell enough drugs and raise enough money, he's going to get her back. That ain't going to do it. And he had to come to some heavy... He had 15 minutes, because that's all the longer the reading lasted, to come to some very heavy realizations. But the universe put him in that hot box. And put me right there in front of him, punching every button this kid had. He didn't have any skin left on him.
Man, you did him like that? Oh, my God.
He's in the middle of a store, a busy bookstore. And it's just, he's just walking out of his eyes, spinning his head. But that's the way God works. You know, sometimes it has to take you by surprise.
Exactly.
Well, that's just like tonight. I was talking to you, Jim, when you called me earlier. I went down the street to help with this person with their dog. And I wound up working on her husband with severe pains in his legs. And I was able to help, you know, I wound up working on them too. So, you know, you're brought to the right point at the right time. So it's really interesting how the universe works.
Right, right.
Just like we're all brought to here. Somebody on this call is going to hear something that's going to change their life.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can feel that.
And
you can feel that now.
And Jim, you're the one that's opened the door to make all this happen.
Right. And that's kind of even, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Even with that point that I had said, can you say it again? I need you to say that again. That just hit me to do that. Now, I can say of all the shows I've ever done, I ain't never had to repeat something in that way to say that again, because somebody needs to hear that. And understood and what I have wanted to do and made a pliable cause to do is to listen to my inside, my inner spirit, and listen, not to fight it. It's so funny.
No.
It comes at the weirdest times. I could be weightlifting. I could be going up the stairs. I could be walking the dogs. I could be doing something. And I just learned to listen to it.
Right.
to listen to it. But I want to get back to one point, and I know that the point that Ken was making, and Ken, and come in and you tell, I'm going to say this, and then you come in and you tell me if I'm saying that basically right. And because I think that a lot of people are going through that also, is the fact of that what you're saying is you're trying to put all of what you know to keep a relationship and situations as civil as possible, but also not to necessarily step on anyone's toes. You don't want yours stepped on. You're not saying anything to slight anybody to the best of your ability, but you're honestly trying to avoid the scenarios that are going on with whatever's going on. And you're not seeing any changes on the other person's part. Is that Is that, am I close to that?
You're exactly right, mm-hmm. because they're set in a
yeah.
mold of where they've been, and they've been like that. Their thought has always been like that, and they're really, what it boils down to, that they're really selfish in every form and facet of what they want. They don't mind using anyone to obtain what they need to get done. And if I step on you or the next three people, it doesn't matter. And they try to justify it by making you feel you have some kind of shortcoming.
Mm-hmm.
That it's your fault.
You got to realize it, though. They know no better. They know no better. That's what makes them such dangerous snakes. They know no better except to operate that way. They don't know
not
to do that.
Exactly.
So that's
exactly.
So you've
got a person that, first of all, they don't want to change and have no knowledge of the need to change.
No.
Right.
Mm-mm. So you just do what the Native Americans do. You just cut them and turn around and walk away.
And that's why you have to put the life preserver on yourself before you can save anybody else.
That's what, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You put it on yourself before you put it on anybody else. You don't try to ever save anybody else because they'll take you down. When I was a lifeguard, that's the first thing they said. They'll take you down.
Anything on the aircraft, if the oxygen mask dropped, you put the oxygen mask on yourself, and then you go and help somebody else. And that's why you have to, at one point in time, come to the realization.
And at that point, that's what I'm doing. I'm putting the oxygen mask on my face, helping me. But in that same room with this people, where they feel that I'm helping myself, I broke my back and put myself in a position where I done for them before I done for myself, and it didn't work.
Never do that.
I'm selfish.
Never do that.
I don't look out for anybody. Something's wrong with me, or I'm mean, and
no.
It's crazy.
But it's simple though.
Never take the opinions of other people.
You don't give any brownie points for doing that. The universe doesn't give
a fuck.
I feel
points.
Better the way I am now than the way I used to be.
Right.
But when is enough is enough. You have to come to a point in your life that you release that person with love. And you move on, because you're only going to change yourself. You're not going to be able to change that other person.
Ever.
So how long are you going to take that much abuse? And I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying this in general. How long are you going to take something that's not going to change? You got to come to that realization. I've learned my lesson. Thank you. Thank them for the lesson. You know, and you know, from your heart, you thank them, you release them with love, and then you move on. And then, in that moving on, the doors are going to open a bit even more, and you're going to have even better in your life. It's a hard road. It's a hard road.
It's a
to
hard
get to
road.
That point.
But you've also given them the greatest gift, because when you leave, there will be a hole in their world, and it's the only opportunity they are going to have to grow. So you have just gifted them
mm-hmm.
with an opportunity to change. Because I'm here to tell you, if you stay, their energy feeds off of you until you have nothing left to give.
They actually kill you. They'll prematurely
kill
you.
That's why you walk away.
Anybody that does that, from a child to a spouse to a friend,
mm-hmm.
they will
mm-hmm.
kill you and have no problem with it, because that's how they vibrate. That's anybody.
You
business got partners,
it.
Brothers, sisters, it doesn't make a difference. See, people, I would always get funny looks. People look at me, well, man, you know, that's your brother, that's your sister. I said, that stuff means nothing to me. That don't mean nothing, because we have the same last name, and genetically, in this physical realm, came from the same womb with my mother. That does not make me you. You can have 15 brothers and sisters, and each one of them could be worth, not worth a shit. Each one of them. It don't make a difference. And I think what has helped me across the board understanding certain things is the fact that the more spiritually you become, the more aware you become of people and how they act and their actions. And that gives you complete empowerment over your reality, because you now know how these people operate. You can look at this person and say, man, you mean me no good. And if you mean me no good, you know, once, twice, a fool, three times, I need to go. But if I know you mean me no good, universe is telling me, showing me in all facets, all ways, this relationship over here with this person, this guy, this woman, this friend, this business. This is no good. And we're warned. And another thing that we have to look at sometimes, too, is we have to understand that majority of these things, we charted them in anyway for a learning curve. We just didn't do
it. We drew them in.
With this right now, this could have been plotted, charted eons ago. Complete, sole contract between every one of us on this line. Every one of us.
It's karma. Right. It's all karma.
Yes. Any one of us. And the thing about it is, we have, and life isn't boring because it is, everything is not always mapped out. God gave us the ability of choice, but he also gave
right.
us the ability of free thinking. Now, why is it, for the course of history and human existence, the main thing that these people and organizations and institutions have been trying to do is control how you think? You go down the line, I don't care how it is. Here you got one freaking slave master, the 400 slaves that could have cut his throat and hung him, yet because of fear or a lack of self-worth, what happens? You got people held on plantations without any freaking fences. You've got people being slaughtered, massacred, holocaust over a thought, over somebody thinking about something. You understand me what I'm saying? So when you start looking at that, it's like, What is going on with all of this mental control, this mental situation, this grabbing and greed of energy? See, it doesn't just, people think it just walks around here and people think, well, I don't want to lose my money. Hell, man, you don't want to lose your soul. Not
no.
You worry about losing your money. You don't want to lose the ability, identity of who you are. And you can just see this in people. You see this in people. You can see this, and I don't know what kind of guy this person was, Judy, that you talked to today, that you actually did. And hold me if I'm not even close to it. Was the guy a thin-framed guy with hair looking like it was a possibility that he needed to wash his hair? Did he look like that?
No. No, he was a good-looking kid. He was well-built. He worked out. He was not fat. He
okay.
had a gorgeous face. He had dark hair. I mean, most girls would look at him going, yo-ho, because
well,
his looks were all together. That was the most deceiving part
about
him.
Any kind?
I'm sorry, what?
So did he have a mustache of any kind?
Nope, no mustache.
Okay,
he was totally
I'm getting a picture of somebody, maybe somebody you work with, maybe somebody, Greg, that you work with. Guy looking like he's on a thin build, a mustache, but he looked like his hair is greasy and it needs to be washed. There's no body to it. He looks thin, maybe 6 foot, 5'10", 5'11", a sloped back, neck kind of, you know, the posture not quite right. I don't know where that comes in. Maybe that's to come. I don't know. If it does, you let me know during the week, Judy or Greg, if you run into anybody like that.
Okay.
But when I hear that story, I picture that person looking that way. But we'll go back onto the same subject and mark that down because for some reason that's twice I've seen that image already. In talking. I've seen it earlier when I talked with you, Judy, earlier today. And second when I was right here in the studio, I've seen that. But the point is of the robbing of the energy and the saving of the people and the saving of other situations. And sometimes what we do is we try to do so much thinking that that person is going to change. And you guys said it.
They will not change.
Earlier. It's not going to happen.
And that's the other thing. If you stay in that situation, it's going to break your spirit and almost like, kill your soul. And they just suck the living life out of you, literally. And that's why, as
awesome.
I said, you've got to...
I stayed in a marriage like that for 23 years until I got out. And what's really funny is because I got out and got my spirit back, the whole family turned on me.
Exactly.
Except
they understand the energy. I mean, now let me ask you a question. Do you feel because, and the first thing that comes to mind, they did not understand the energy that you were illuminating because of that? You actually
They did not.
Right. You actually started you started beaming like light from the sun. And people, when they don't understand it, they get to be prejudiced over it.
And don't get me wrong.
They could get back in the box.
It's going to be a rough road because, as Judy said, people might change, turn against you and stuff, but you're saving yourself. And that's what you got to realize.
Yeah, I mean, my whole family said, we're not speaking to you. You're not worth anything. Don't call us. Don't contact us. Don't anything. So I said, okay. And now they're left with it turning all on the inside of them, and I feel great.
Yeah.
I feel
there
free.
You go.
Yeah. I'll be free. It's good.
There you go.
Yeah.
There, I mean, and that's what it's about. So, I mean, and I know there's a lot of people out there that can relate to that. That's a lot of people.
Yep.
And me, myself, personally, I can just say it's all about the attitude that you take towards what you're doing. I mean, it's just the attitude to me. It's just, there's ways, just like there's ways to say no. You know, there's not just the one way to say no. There's not one way to say yes, in my opinion. It's just your attitude towards that. And I know we talked about it the last show, everybody, about how that you have to guard yourself and that you have to do that. And I just think, and one of the reasons, too, I do want to say this, that I came up with the idea about this show is that I wanted to break the barriers down of ignorance of right and wrong. And I said it my first show, Ken, you were here with me when I said it. I said that I do not believe that there is a right or a wrong. I don't believe what the quote-unquote religion sect of people have pressed upon people for controlling matters. That, to me, I look at things being proper or more proper or less proper. And I use that term for a reason. It's not, I can say, you know what, this is right, this is wrong. That's like somebody saying the glass half full, half empty. I mean, it is what it is. Don't get me wrong, but I think, and I was taught this by my father years ago. It's about the attitude you take towards it, Jim. That's what he would tell me. You know, he would say, Jim, it's the attitude you take towards it that makes it proper or improper for you. And you own it. And you stand by that. You know, don't come in and you know, let people tell you, well, this is wrong because you're this way or this is wrong. He said, you're going to have to make decisions in your life that it's just people are not going to like. And if you have to base that upon other people's opinion, you're going to be a weak man and you're going to fail. So you have to stand on your ground, believe in yourself, and stand on your decision, whether it's improper or more proper for you. You know, and I think that has gotten me where I say that to people, their eyes just open up because, you know, all of the pre-things that are put on so much of us today. I do, you know, going back to that, this is why I wanted to do this show. I wanted to pull people together like yourselves, you know, Ken, Greg, Judy, and to talk about some things on a personal level, but also on a psychic, on a metaphysical level, on a healing level of people that just, you know, if you listen, I know you see them when they come in. I know you see them when you work on them. They're their own worst enemy. They're their own worst enemy to things that they put on themselves that they've been taught over the years in their lives that does not even exist. And if you would just wipe that curtain away, you could see how simple things really are for us. We make them so complicated. And sometimes you have to look at young kids and children and babies. Man, they take things with a grain of salt and they move on. You know, they fall on their bottoms and they get up, wipe up, man, and they're going back for more. And here it is. One little thing happens to us and we're devastated for life. And I think there's just so many things to learn. You know what I mean? There's so many things for us to learn, so many opportunities for us to learn. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why, and I know the universe has answered all of my desires, will continue to for all of my lives to come, and I give the most highest gratitude every single day for all the people that I'm re-meeting. And instead of, you know, me saying with you guys that I'm meeting you for the first time, but I'm re-meeting family, and that's what it feels like, and I stand on that. And I think, you know, when you start looking at it and placement and the whole nine yards, you know, of us talking and I was telling Ken before we went on the air, I said, you know, I don't ask me why, I just kept thinking about North Carolina. I mean, you know, and here it is, just sort of like he told you that, Judy. But
I was talking about
you guys of how grounded you feel, how grounded talking to you, how, you know, you guys vibrate at such a high level. I mean, it's just the one, and then it looks like you guys just have fun. I know we go through our things every day, but you guys seem to just have fun. Find some simple things in life and have fun with it. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and that's just, and people can never have met you before, but, you know, your insides tell you, man, you know, these are good people on the radio. These are good people on the radio. You know, these are people I can sit down with a cup of coffee and tea and laugh and get a joke with. you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been thinking, I might open up a biscuit restaurant, Judy, because I can't get the biscuits out of my hand.
I'm
going
to
have to see how well you do cook. We're going to have to find out. So we're either going to fly everybody up or we're coming down. We're going to do something. So we're going to definitely do that.
Sounds good to me.
Well, you even said that to me, Jim, when you first met me. You said that
when
you saw me, you felt the energy, and it was really interesting. Because as I said, you put out really good energy, too.
And it's amazing how
the people that are brought together, it's all synchronicity. Because as I said, we did work with Donna Fox, and it was amazing how from that meeting where we are today, and now we're reaching out and touching all the people out there, and we're helping all these people, because I know we are, because the subjects that we're bringing up are very, very important, and if we can even help one person tonight, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's about, because I just finished teaching a class of spiritual development before I went on air, and it was about this very thing, about how we affect each other, and how these experiences really, if you look at them with the proper eyes, will help you find those places inside yourself that aren't healed. Every experience is a reflection back to you of those places where you have injuries that you've covered over. And they can help those injuries come to the light. You can heal them and you can free yourself. I mean, every situation, no matter how bad it is a key to opening your heart. It is.
Exactly.
And if you approach it with the right look and the right eyes, I mean, it can just open you up beyond your wildest dream. I mean, your greatest enemy is your greatest hatred.
Yeah.
And it is. Your greatest enemy is your greatest teacher and will free you. Absolutely, totally free you. And you don't ever have to go back to it again.
We're all light beings, and we chose.
Yeah.
We chose the parents before we came to this earth. Mm-hmm. We chose the parents that we were going to have. And we had a little panoramic view of what we were going to experience, what lessons we were going to learn. So we already agreed to this before we came to this planet and to the life that we're living today. So we came here to learn lessons and to experience the good and the bad. And
because it's not bad, it's just
right. It's right. And that's how I wanted to actually say also, right. Some people, and I know that's for reference, but it's just experiences, because the universe, it's a neutral standing. It's a neutral thing. It doesn't look at it from a good or bad standpoint, just that exactly it. We charted our parents. We charted our spouses. We charted our friends. We've had and made soul contracts between one another. Not all meetings are soul contracts, but there's certain things that come across in our lives to give us clues on where we need to go and where we've been. And I think with that, and sometimes when you are more and the higher you get in tune with yourself, the more you can recognize this is an old friend. You know, when my youngest daughter was born, the first thing that came to me, and I've told this story before, it wasn't just a daughter. I recognized that it was a friend.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had some Akashic Records read and some past life regressions read, it was told to me that my youngest daughter, we were actually blood brothers, warriors together in the Babylonian time. And the relationship, when you see it, you would say, man, it's a special relationship, because I look at her as a friend. So people say, well, you know, it's just a daughter, what do you mean? But people can recognize, even my father, he was able to tell you, he's like, this one, that's an old soul here. And she dates back way, way, like way, way. It was told to me crazy back. You know, we've had that kind of relationship together. So then, you know, I look at my oldest daughter, Jade. You know, she's been my daughter twice, and I could feel that. You know what I mean? It's just. But these clues that we give ourselves. How many people of this conversation that we're all having, and we all can testify, that you can legitimately have, and you won't get an eyebrow raised to you, to say, what the hell are you talking about? You know, where you can accept this to be truth in your life, and it helps you, and give, and so many clues that our life gives us, and universe gives us, that where it's declaring that it is the truth. You know, it's harder for people to fight against it than it just to say, wait a minute, man. This is a heck of a coincidence with this and this and that and this over here. And here it is. I got people coming in my life that we are helping one another, but at the same time, wanting the same goal as far as to do this and this and to, we want to open up businesses together. We want to create product lines. We want to get a show syndicated. We want to travel. Can we all see ourselves, you know, flying in jets? Can we all see ourselves with unlimited amount of wealth? Can we all see ourselves helping people? I can see that. And I believe it. And I testify to it. And I know with just accepting it to be a truth in my life that I know universe is going to give me that and the opportunities. And I'm ready to work hard for it if I just have an open eye to it and not have a closed mind. Oh, man, you know, I'll never be able to sign a seven-figure contract. We all are going to have seven-figure contracts. I would tell you that standard. I don't, and he'll tell you. Can testify, when I say something to you and I tell you in a specific way, there has not been one thing that I have ever said that has not come to pass and manifest. Period. That's why I know I am a favor of God. I know it to be true. I've said it quite often. And people come up to you in Cleveland and say, yeah, I know that guy, man. That's the luckiest guy I've ever seen in my life. That's the first thing come out their mouth. He shoots straight from the hip. He ain't never cut no shiesty deals. He's never did nothing with low integrity. And the fact of that he's the luckiest person I've ever seen in my life. That's what they will say about Jim Ferguson. And to me, that's one of the highest honors that I can have being human at this time around in my life, to have somebody say that that's a straight-up guy, period. He'll shake your hand. Whatever deal he cuts, he'll stand by that deal. He'll stand by his word. That's the high. I don't care about a PhD. I don't care about... You can call me CEO of whatever. That doesn't mean anything to me. What means to me is my word and my bond, and I take that because what is so below is also above, and I that's just very important to me. And a lot of people with all these things, and Judy, we talked about that for the need of all these contracts, not shooting a gun, but the fact that people have lost that within themselves. It's just like you walk around, I can get 1,000 people in a room, and Greg. Can you might, you know, be to say the same. Can you look in their eyes and can you see life? Can you look in 1,000 people, get 1,000 people lined up and shake each person's hand, man, woman, and child, and literally out of them thousands, man, you could probably count on two hands where you can see life in that person. Life.
Yeah,
I'm talking about knowledge.
That's true, unfortunately.
That is what we're here for to do. We are here to
raise
the consciousness.
But, Jim, more people are waking up. I can see it.
Yes.
The more people are coming in as clients, and they are literally beginning to wake
up.
They're hurting
Judy,
so bad.
That's Judy's job. And everyone I work on, they come in with dark eyes, and when they leave, they are so uplifted and
sparkling.
And that's what our job is to serve, is to help raise the consciousness of the planet for the
It is.
And I'm gonna tell you something. I would, for all of us, I hope that universe gives all of you guys, Ken, Judy, Greg, gives universe the energy backing to do it as long as you desire to do it. Ken, whatever help you do for people, and I know we've often talked about it, that, you know, we all sometimes, both of us, our biggest downfall is not turning anybody down and not saying no. And at the same time, finding a balance in between helping and not hurting ourselves. And then I hear you guys talking and was able to meet Greg, and instantly, Greg, I didn't even know your last name, man, and you started working on me. You remember when we were in Outback, and you came up to me, you was like, what, I think you said something like, what injury do you have? What's going on? And you was
what's
able
going
to
on with your shoulder?
And I told you about my knees. You remember that?
Yeah. I walk up to people all the time and they say, well, you have a problem with your shoulder. Yeah, but I have a problem with my knee. And I says, yeah, but you also have a problem here. But yeah, I walked up to you and I didn't have to know your name. I just felt.
You
felt
something.
Yeah, I
felt
something.
You did feel it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you guys,
and people,
I want to say that. The universe. Just, you know, give you guys every means an opportunity to continue to do what you do, because that's a service to the world, that's a service to the planet, that's a service to everything of existence. And I think that's so important. And you guys, you know what I mean? And I'm going to tell you something. I laugh and I have fun. I try to have fun with the universe also. I try to have fun with my ascended master. I try to have fun with my spiritual guide, you know, because it senses of humor too. And I try to have fun with that. And at the same time, you know, just, you know, give me strength to do what I got to do. You know what I mean? And then, you know, but at the same time, I look at people and you can just feel you guys from it. We don't have to be in the same studio, and I've said it. You know, I can just feel you guys. And you know, May the Universe gives you everything that you guys desire, because that it's a wonderful thing. You guys are
so
centered
and
so down to earth. And it's just... Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, we could talk for the next 10 hours and I'll be happy with it. Give me a cup of coffee with a little bit of hazelnut in it and I'm good to go. But it's just, it's wonderful to hear you guys. It really is. And I'm very thankful, and I give gratitude for each and every one of you guys, Judy, Greg, Ken, for the meetings and the conversations, because me and Ken are going back and forth. We talk a little bit more than we all do, but me and him are every day. It's every day. I mean, it's every day. So we gotta do that. Trust me. You know, the stuff that go on up here, man, we gotta help each other out. And I can feel him from a distance and he can feel me from a distance. And we could be on the phone, you guys, for 30 minutes. And then we'll call each other back 15 minutes later and talk about some different crap and some other stuff. But at the same time, he's pissed about something and I'm mad about something. And I'm telling him I want to go shoot somebody, and he's telling me, man, wait a minute, I'll come with you. So we have a ball.
We need you.
So it's funny. You know, it's like medicine on the run. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Well,
yeah.
You're awesome, because you're reaching out, Jim, and you're touching a lot of people. And do they have the option of calling in and talking to us?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is there a number that you
can call phone lines now, right? Anybody that gets online, and you know what, too? Hold on, because I wanted to say this, too. Information on getting hold to both of you guys for your business services. You get, you know, take a moment for yourselves. Judy, if you have your email address, you want to give that out now.
Because we
want to make sure that people know how to get a hold to you. See, some people, I've also learned that people listening in, I'll get messages. Trust me, I'm getting some right now, as a matter of fact. And what happened was people necessarily, they may not call in, they may be a little shameful to call in, but still know that, you know, if you want to call in or they want to talk to you personally where it's not necessarily people on the internet listening to what they're saying, give a shout out to yourselves, Judy, and then Greg, as far as contact information, because
okay.
I know some of your information has changed. So
okay.
Judy, go ahead and give some information about that.
Okay. Mine is Judy Higdon, that's H-I-G-D-O-N. @cox.net, or my page is intuition-specialist.com, and you can find out more about me on my page, but you can also email me at that email address.
Okay, repeat that email address one more time, Judy, please.
Yeah, Judy, J-U-D-Y Higdon, H-I-G-D-O-N, @cox.net, or Intuition, I-N-T-U-I-T-I-O-N, and that's a dash, and then specialist, S-P-E-C-I-A-L-I-S-T.com. Either way,
perfect.
You can find me.
Perfect. Greg, what about you, buddy?
Thank you.
Okay, it's Greg White, G-R-E-G-W-H-I-T-E, 255@gmail.com.
Okay, great. And you know what? Repeat that one more time again, just in case people are trying to get the ink pens down. Give them that one more shot.
Okay, it's Greg White, 255@gmail.com.
Perfect.
Lowercase and no spaces.
Okay, perfect. That's perfect. You want to make sure that people out there that can give you a call. Because, Judy, guess what? I am going to get a reading by you also.
Yes. This is good.
I'm bold enough to do it on the air. So you can give me that 5-minute reading next week.
There's one thing Greg will tell you. I am extremely honest and truthful, and I don't pull punches. So.
Don't pull it. So hit me with the left hook.
Be prepared to.
It's great. You might want to ask Greg.
Judy
I'll be
is,
more than interested for you.
She's right up front, and as I said, she doesn't put any butter on it. Let me
right.
put it that way.
Right, but, right. There ain't no country butter on this biscuit, huh?
No, no. But we have tag team. It's been awesome because we tag team and she sets the space and when we heal, she's able to go right to the source and we work on that. We talk to the people and we work on that and we're able and the shift is instantaneous. It's amazing. It really
okay.
is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's like doubling up our energies. Yeah, so it's really good. It's a good thing.
Yeah, because you guys helped me out. I was a little under the weather last week. And mm-hmm. you guys did something to me long distance. And another day
yep.
or so, I was up and popping.
Yep.
So I had the chills mm-hmm. the night before and was feeling real bad. So I definitely appreciate everything that you guys have done with that. Definitely. And maybe... Big Daddy Ken, maybe you get a psychic 5-minute
yes,
reading.
Yes,
sir.
Big
cool.
Daddy Ken,
let's talk to him
reading,
into it, dude.
I
you gotta talk him into
that.
It.
We definitely could do that. That is not a problem. I had one question. Do you ever run into people that really don't know what their purpose is around on this plane right now, this Earth?
Oh,
right now,
I'm
going to
say 75% of them don't know, Ken. They don't know their purpose. They think they do, but they really don't know their purpose. And they're just wandering around in the dark, looking for anything they can hang on to. And it's usually another person. And they latch on to them and suck all the juice out, and they move on to another person. And so you're a very
vampires.
Sweet, wonderful, vulnerable. Psychic Vampires. There's a good book written on it called Psychic Vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about people who latch on to you, drain you of your energy. You don't know it's gone until it's gone. And then you're trying to get yourself, hold yourself in space, and they've walked on down the road whistling a tune, mm-hmm. taking a lot of your energy with them. And so, yeah, there's a lot of that going on right now, unfortunately, because the spirit agrees on everything. But it's changing. It's really changing.
Yeah,
I have more faith in humanity than I've ever had in my life right now.
I can see the
really
shift
did.
Every day. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
because so many things, I mean... People are so afraid out here right now because they don't even know what. I mean, if you get trapped in this life and you think that the only thing in your existence is to make money and to be able to be comfortable what someone else sets that standard for, and you don't set your own standard. You are trapped, and that's why you look around and people really are wondering where I'm going to be, what am I going to do, and they're worried and they're scared and very afraid.
You have a
oh,
lot of
yeah.
time when you have that, you have a lot of people following no leader, no leadership. See, the thing about it is, mm-hmm. is you are not a follower, you're a leader. So when you see mm-hmm. people coming like that, you know, it's hard to understand it because you never followed. You led.
Because
you know
I don't
I mean?
Believe even the, like the current administration, I'm proud to say that I'm happy to see the change that has occurred, but I don't think this man is going to save me or make my life any different. I'm the one who's going to make that change and
exactly.
set it back to another level.
Exactly.
No,
and
he just opened a new door for you to walk through.
Out.
He just opened a new door for you to walk through. That's what he's doing. He's giving you chances. He's giving you opportunities
exactly.
that you didn't
and
have
then
before.
And you're seeing them in the physical because you're seeing that, man, it can be done.
Right.
And
yep.
it gives that mm-hmm. burst of energy, that burst of security on your end to say, you know what, yes, you can. All you're doing is remembering that you have no limit and you have no boundaries. But if we
exactly.
if we truly get into that and understand that, we need, you know, we're going to talk about, because you already got, I got the subject for next week. So I'm going to tell you guys right now, and it's going to be, I got it for next week. And it's going to be dealing with these boundaries that we put on ourselves, but also understanding that we have to learn how to activate universe for universe to work in our behalf. And stop asking for the minute things and ask for the large things. I mean, a lot of scriptures talk about asking for the kingdom. Don't ask for the little things. Ask for the kingdom. How many of us, how many people walking around here, you know, they're happy with settling for a little bit of nothing? You know?
But yeah.
Jim, that's
don't
exactly
like... Don't ask for the car. Ask for the ideas on how to get the car, if that's what you're going to do. Ask for the creative mind. Don't ask for the objects.
But
exactly.
Don't not just ask. Don't be
intelligent.
Right. And don't just ask, I want $10,000. Don't limit yourself to $10,000. The universe might want to plan to give you $100,000. So don't put yourself in a box. Put out the possibility of I have abundance coming to me at all times. You see what I'm saying?
I have unlimited abundance coming at me.
I have unlimited health.
Mm-hmm.
I have unlimited love of myself and others. You see what I'm saying? Positive affirmations.
Exactly.
Take all the sides off of it and just don't even do that. Talk to it. Live it. Be it. See yourself walking to the office and see your name president on the door, whatever it is, and feel it. Literally feel it in every cell of your body. That's what I've trained people to do, and they're doing things.
Let God, the universe, whatever you want to believe it to be, let that do the work. Don't you try to figure it out. Let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Because the universe, a lot of times, has a much better idea of what to do than you do.
Exactly. And that's why I often tell people, and make sure that I do it myself, that when I ask for something, I place or impress my desires upon the universe, I always make sure, recently because it's burning my attention, are you saying, or something better when you place that desire there? So when I say something that I want, this, this, and this, I cover myself by saying, hey, or something better. I'm willing to take something better, not just, locked on to something of what I think, because you say the universe has a better plan for us. But still, by the laws, you got to be careful. Asking for that car, that car may come in certain ways that you may not necessarily want that car to come. You know what I mean? You may have to go through hell and high water for the car. For that particular car, the safe or something better could also ease up, some pathways of how you're getting the things that you're getting. And I think, too, and I want to touch on this for a while, is, like you said, take the edges and the boundaries off of it and start understanding that we are infinite. We are infinite with infinite possibilities, with infinite choices, with infinite abilities. We just can't put a limit on what we can do. And I think that's important, too, and we have to be careful about what we say and how we say it, and pay attention to what we're talking about.
Because you will talk yourself out of something you don't even know you're doing it. Because you're not believing in yourself. So everybody argues for their limitations, and that just tickles me to death. Well, I can't do that because I'm too old or I'm too set. It's like, yes, you can. You can do anything you want to do.
Exactly.
You can do anything you want to do.
Right.
When I work on somebody, I tell them, don't be looking for the pain that is gone. And that's what they seem to do a lot of times. They look for it, and they bring it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being thankful for the change and focusing on the difference. That's all I ask them to do, is focusing on the change. Oh, I feel a little bit different. It doesn't feel like that. Well, remember that and forget the rest. Move on. And a lot of people...
A lot of them, that's their whole world. Yeah, the pain is their whole world. I see that, though. And you have to break the mindset. Yeah, you got to break the mindset, because it's all they know. It's their own definition. Freedom is a frightening thing to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
It's a very frightening thing to a lot of people, because they don't know how to operate with freedom. They're
so
indoctrinated
that
freedom means
some people wish that at the end of their lives realize all I had to do was just step out the door. I just had to step out the door, and too scared to step out. And I can say that we have all went through that, and some of us are going through that on some of maybe higher level to smaller level things. It could be very simple things. You know what I mean? And that is an excellent point. It's stepping out of that. But that's an excellent question, because I think that has a lot to do with how situations are going right now. People just don't have a clue about what you chartered yourself to do in this lifetime. And what's so bad about it is they don't even know where to go to find out the information
that they need. Their whole box has been blown apart. This is the best opportunity to create a new business, to create a new life, to create a new anything ever, because there's fewer rules in people's lives now than there ever has been. They're running around in circles, but at least they got chances that they never had before. They really do.
And I've heard other business savvy business people say, man, this is the time. What you just said, Judy, this is the time to really crack their heads with opening and doing and coming up with new things and new ideas and new, and we've got to do that. I mean, I'm sitting every day go by, I'm looking at, man, what do I want to do? What exactly do I want to do? And I just, because I haven't necessarily needled down and the radio has been on the forefront of my mind, is that, you know, I do want to open up another business or to manufacture something that I can get out here, sell online, do, or whatever it might be, whether it's automotive related or what it might be. I just, you know, because my order has to be correct to universe. And if it's fragmented, I won't get anything. And I think a lot of times people, we want to touch this also in shows to come, that there's proper way of asking for things within the universe. Like you said, you can talk your way in and out of things. And, and some people don't know, and that's why certain prayers and certain desires have not been answered. Because you've actually sent a message out there that's confused. So listen, everybody, we're going to get a chance. That's our sign to get on out of here. We're going to get a chance to get with everybody next week. Every Wednesday at 8:55 Eastern Standard Time, man. The Hustler Spirit, we will be on the air. Once again, I appreciate Ken, Judy, Greg. See you guys next week. Appreciate it.
Don't get trapped.
Hey, Ken, you take it easy, okay? You take it easy, all right? Okay,
all right.
Talk to you later, guys.
Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.